Good morning and welcome back to 501C TV. I'm your host, Janelle Harris, and this is the podcast that talks to system change leaders, thought leaders, nonprofits, and nonprofit partners. And I'm excited to have in studio with me today, Ken West, who is the CEO of our very own JFK Hospital right here in our neighborhood. So thank you for joining me today. I'm excited to talk a little bit about the hospital and some of the initiatives that you guys have going on, because I think it's important that not only people that listen and tune into the podcast know about all the resources that are here for us, but also, you know, we typically have on, like I said, nonprofits on the show, and these are the populations that, you know, are important to us and that we serve and that the nonprofits serve. So I want them to be aware of, you know, kind of all the initiatives that are going on a healthcare perspective. So thank you for joining me.
My pleasure. It's glad to be here.
CEO of a hospital. A lot of people want to know kind of who is Ken? How did he get here?
Sure.
What was kind of the path to ending up here in South Florida?
Absolutely. So I'll try to be brief, but, you know, I grew up in a little small town in South Louisiana called Ponchatoula, Louisiana. That's a Native American word for Ponchatoula, which is the hanging hair on the cypress trees and the swamps.
Okay, awesome.
So that's a little bit of, you know, Jeopardy factor.
I was going to say, I wouldn't want to know how to spell that either, because that sounds like a lot.
Yeah, but I grew up there. I think it's roughly about 5,000 people or so in that town. It's about 10 square miles.
Okay.
I didn't know that until I brought my wife many years later.
Oh, my goodness.
I looked it up on Wikipedia, so.
I'm giving you the full tour here.
Full tour of it.
Awesome.
Small town. Born and raised there. I went to undergraduate college at Louisiana State, LSU, Go Tigers.
Okay,
I'm in Gator country here.
And so that's okay.
I wanted to make sure I put that out there as well.
I like it.
My undergraduate degree is in dietetics and nutritional sciences, so I trained, I went to college to be a dietitian.
Cool.
I later went to, I did some training at North Oaks Health System there in my local town. And trained as a dietitian. So I was initially starting a career track as a clinician.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I thought was interesting is I felt limited in terms of being able to care for one patient a day, X amount per week or whatever.
Interesting.
You know, and I could count up my entire career.
Right.
And so I was like, wow, I really want to do something on a larger scale that I can impact an entire community, a city or state, or the region or the country as well. And so I later found myself, I took a small stint did a little teaching on the side as well.
Did you really? What did you teach?
Yeah, so I taught career development and some of the sciences through math, science, Upward Bound.
Oh my gosh, cool.
Okay. I was in Upward Bound when I was in high school. I started college before I graduated high school as well. So a lot of unique opportunities for me. And then I had this opportunity to, after my training as a dietitian, go into executive recruitment. And so I use that skill today. I recruit many of my leaders in my organizations personally. And I did that, but I felt a little bit more tangential to healthcare, a little bit further away from the work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the opportunity to go back to graduate school and get my master's of health systems administration. So I moved to D.C. I went to Georgetown, which is an incredible, really international school. It's a global school that people from all over the world. And I really learned a lot about the two things, you know, one being at such a global university, but second, having a Jesuit education. So it's the oldest Jesuit school in the country, and learning a lot about Jesuit principles and how that's interwoven into my leadership philosophy. So whether it's things like cura personalis, which is care for the whole person,
right,
or what used to be called men and women for others, it's now called people for others. And really thinking about how you commit to service and in the work that you do day in, day out. And so that has really kind of shaped and undergirded my overall leadership philosophy.
It's so crazy too. I was just thinking about it. I'm like, you came from this tiny little town, like to go from there and then to be exposed to all that at Georgetown is
incredible.
So cool, like life-changing.
Example, people would have their health law class and they'd study in the book. My assignment was to go to Capitol Hill and see the insurance companies get grilled by Congress.
Right.
So you can't, you know, those are just such unique and powerful experiences that I had. And from there, I started my career training as a hospital administrator. So I did an administrative residency with my current company, HCA Healthcare.
Okay.
I took a short stint out, and I went to Johns Hopkins Health System in Baltimore.
Okay.
And I came back as an assistant administrator, and I've now done in total, I think, 8 jobs with the company.
With HCA?
Yeah, with HCA.
That's awesome.
I had the fortunate opportunity to be on the team that founded and opened a hospital
in
Central Virginia and Fredericksburg. So
that's so cool.
So it's unique.
Yeah, very. Like I was going to say, that gives you a whole another background and perspective that,
yes,
you know, you just carry with you, which is really cool. Yes. So tell me about, so how long have you been in your role now as CEO at JFK?
About 10, 11 months now.
June
will be
awesome.
A year.
Good for you.
So
congratulations.
It's been truly a blessing and an opportunity to come back to the state of Florida. Again, this is my second time in Florida.
I was wondering, I'm like, where were you at before you came to Florida?
So I went from Virginia for several years, and then I came to Florida, to Tampa Bay. I was at Trinity Hospital now. It's called Medical Center of Trinity then. And then I went out to Silicon Valley, California, San Jose proper, for 6 years. And then I've just gotten back to Florida now.
Are you happy here? You like it?
That's been great. It's great.
I was going to say, I can't really say like the weather is better here because like California is pretty
nice
too.
Kind of ridiculous,
too.
But it's been great in both places. You
Good.
Know, less humidity, no mosquitoes. So that was probably the better thing.
Yeah.
Great mountains. But this has been phenomenal. I love South Florida. And this is, my wife and I talk about it a lot. This is probably our favorite move of all the ones that we've had.
Oh, good. That makes me happy to hear. I've been down here in South Florida going on almost 8 years now.
Awesome.
So It's not terrible.
Yes, not at all.
I come from Chicago winters.
Oh, yeah. We're blessed.
I was done with all that.
Great weather in no Texas.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about JFK Hospital.
Sure. So JFK Hospital is the largest hospital in Palm Beach County.
Mm-hmm.
Since our founding in 1966, it's the first hospital named in memorial for our slain former president, John F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been in growth mode ever since that time. We started as a, I'll call it little, but 150-bed hospital.
Wow.
Today, on our main campus, we're over 500 beds there. And if you add our north campus as well, it's over 800 beds combined between the two hospitals. So a large tertiary quaternary hospital, a large teaching hospital as well, in terms of we train at any given time about 100 residents and fellows across 9 programs as well. So part of producing the next generation of physicians in our community as well.
And where do you guys pull from for the teaching hospital? That's cool. I didn't realize.
Yeah, all over. So they're primarily medical schools that are in South Florida.
Okay.
So Nova Southeastern, mm-hmm. University of Miami, FAU. And we do take students from other places as well, but predominantly we see students who train, go to school in Florida, they matriculate into our programs.
Okay.
And in many instances, a large portion of those students actually matriculate into this community. We have many of our surgeons who've gone through the JFK surgical residency program.
So cool.
We have hospitalists and other internal medicine physicians who've come through the internal medicine program, many podiatrists, so on and so forth. So it's been a great thing for us as well.
Very cool. What are some of the things that you guys are looking at future-wise? I'm always like obsessed with technology, and I was having this conversation the other day. Like I'm not in the healthcare field, but I follow it closely. I have aging parents and kids that, you know, get hurt and sick, and so I'm always like following along. Like, what are some of the like breakthrough technologies that you guys are putting into JFK?
You know, there are two. In fact, I could think of off the top of my head, just in the last maybe 30 days or 2 months or so that we've implemented. One in the neurosurgery space, kind of connection between oncology and neurosurgery has been a technology. I don't know if we should be using names here, but I'll just for the sake of it, gamma tau. And what allows us to do is we can implant sort of a radioactive substance in someone's in brain where we might not be able to operate in that space and give them the doses of radiation deep into their brain. So that was one area.
That's cool. It's almost like an implant.
It is.
Like a radiation implant.
There's a little tile that you put in that
that's
emits
incredible.
Radiation.
Yeah.
The other is most recently we were part of a national trial study with a technology called pulse field ablation. And so if you were to come in, electrophysiologists who are a subspecialty within cardiologists,
mm-hmm.
it's some of the work that they do. So many people who may have heart arrhythmias, when your heart is not beating on the right cycle that it's supposed to, they come in and get things that are called ablations. And historically, we could do two things to you. We could either a traditional ablation, which is like you kind of burn the heart, you cauterize it in different locations. Mm-hmm. And then we had something called ice, and we could kind of freeze it in different locations to get it back on rhythm. This gives us a third technology that we can shock the heart in certain areas through this pulse field ablation.
Is this like AFib?
Yes, for AFib.
Okay.
You get an ablation for atrial fibrillation.
Got you. Okay.
So your heart is
I'm hearing words. I'm like, I'm actually really, really, I have a family member actually who is like a big AFib surgeon down in Texas. Yes. And some of my family members have had issues with that. So mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm hearing the words. I'm like, I know this. Yes. I know this. Yeah.
So we were fortunate to be a part of a national study with that as well. And we did our first procedure maybe a month or so ago. And it gives us opportunity to keep pushing the limits of new advancements in patient mm-hmm. care and bring this to our community. We see a lot of patients who actually out-migrate from Palm Beach County, not just from our hospital, but from all over. Mm-hmm. And our focus is to make sure that the citizens of Palm Beach County know that they have high-quality, sophisticated healthcare here, and we can keep those patients local without having to burden them with the transportation back and forth,
sure.
or flying out of the area or going down to Miami or Tampa or any of those other places. We want to be able to keep you closer to your home and your community and receive that care.
That's so awesome. What are some of the other kind of like trends that you're seeing? So I know the cool thing is it's unique that you've moved around a yes. lot. So I would think that there's probably some different things that you've seen happening in different areas, but probably a lot that is probably staying the yeah. same in healthcare. Like, what are some of the trends that you're seeing moving forward?
Sure. Well, you know, it's fascinating. In some certain ways, healthcare is local, mm-hmm. right? And it's a combination of kind of cultural norms in that community, where people trained and things and so on and so forth.
Sure.
And then there are sort of your macros that are happening and shifting within society. So I think we're getting better as a system of rapidly identifying disease, and
right.
we still have a lot of work to do in that space, but mm-hmm. Historically things that would have otherwise been referred to as a death sentence, I think we're getting better in healthcare mm-hmm. around having the tools and technology and the screening processes, getting the word out, but
right.
certainly still not where we ultimately want to be. You've probably heard a lot of buzz out in the community and the media around things like generative AI or Gen AI,
as you yes. hear it,
and leveraging large language models to help us understand care better. I think we're still very early in that stage. There's
right.
a lot of folks who have really stepped out on the forefront of it. Our company is very invested in making sure that we can be on the forefront of figuring out ways to leverage that new technology
yeah.
and do it in a responsible way. So we're excited to see where this is going to take us in terms of using things like predictive analytics to more rapidly identify. I'll give you an example. I could think about historically, we would think of people go into hospitals and they say, hey, well, you know, Uncle Joe, they said he got an infection and he died and he didn't make it out of the hospital.
Yep.
We didn't have a word for it quite the same way back then, but now today we know it's like sepsis, right?
Right.
It's when people go in multi-system organ failure.
Correct.
And front due to infections.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, we sort of waited till people showed certain symptoms and then tried to deal with it, but the risk of mortality goes up something like 40% after an hour or so. And
yeah,
so
that's crazy.
We can use technology today where it'll allow us to, we use something in our company called SPOT, and it's basically a sepsis identification tool that alerts you ahead of time using a sophisticated system of measurements on the patient from a physiological standpoint and alerts you ahead of time so you can get started
that's so
on
cool.
that. Treating that patient.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that because, you know, obviously you want to be more proactive mm-hmm. than reactive because, like
exactly.
you said, I feel like, you know, in the old days it was like something hurts.
Just waiting for things
yeah,
to happen.
You just wait for yeah. something to happen and then you go to the yes. hospital and you hopefully get it fixed and you move on. But it is, it's comforting and it's cool to like watch mm-hmm. the progression and see like just how far it really has come a lot in even
yes.
like the last like 20 years versus
it's amazing what the capabilities within mm-hmm. the overall healthcare system, the U.S. healthcare system, and particularly within our healthcare system of what we can do for patients that we didn't have the insight or
right.
the expertise at a given time.
Yeah, which is really cool. So I was telling you before we started that, you know, normally I have on a lot of nonprofits
right.
on the show here. And You know, they serve some of the most vulnerable population in our community. So one of the things that we've heard some buzz about and maybe is like an initiative that you guys have at JFK mm-hmm. is this whole idea of a DEI philosophy. Right. So I would love for you to talk a little bit about that, because I know that that specifically addresses, you know, some of those people in the population that are most vulnerable, that I know that our nonprofits come in and serve. So
absolutely.
If we hear that buzzword, DEI, what does that mean?
Well, DEI stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. You hear some people refer, they put a B on the end of it as well, belonging.
Oh, okay.
Because at the end of the day,
cool.
You know, I've heard this interesting phrase that, you know, it's one thing to be invited to the dance, but the other has been invited on the dance floor and people dance with you and make you feel like you belong there.
Sure.
And so for each of us, I think it's an opportunity for whether it's our patients, whether it's our physicians, our employees, or just people who visit our organization. Mm-hmm. Do they have a sense of belonging of being there?
Right.
Not that you're just tolerated. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about how can we recognize, celebrate, and champion what's unique and inherent about each and every person as an individual
right.
in our organization. So that's where we think the opportunities are to build systems in place to attract and make the people who work in your organization feel like they're a part of it.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool, because I've read a lot of articles about it specifically, and you know, it's not even just, it's a two-pronged thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the employee workplace and
right.
and having that sense of belonging for everybody there, but then it translates over into patient care, right?
It does.
So if I'm a patient coming in and there's people there that I can identify and connect with,
yes.
I feel like maybe I'm more at ease and
yeah.
maybe I'm going to get a better care.
I think in that space, we use the language specifically culturally competent.
Yeah, which
right?
is cool.
And so when you think through, you know, I have the ability to live in a lot of different places,
mm-hmm.
being in some very diverse communities, particularly I was out in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley, and, you know, thinking about the unique things that are inherent to different cultures,
mm-hmm.
right? So it may be spacing, it may be using a person's first name. We think about regionalism, right? If you're
right.
in the South, it's okay to say, yes, ma'am. People may be offended if you're
right.
in the Northeast.
Exactly.
Right? Or calling somebody by their first name,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe a great sign of disrespect. And so being able to help our caregivers understand
sure.
What's unique about that person and their specific culture makes the patient, it enhances the healing process because they feel more at home and they feel like
completely
they've been seen
agree.
And recognized for who they are as an individual.
Totally. And that's kind of, you know, I was trying to lead into like what impact does that have, you know, that type of training on the quality of care that the patients receive.
That's on the patient side. But now let's
yeah.
flip that mirror around to the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think about, can we attend to the spiritual, the physical, the emotional, the social well-being of our caregivers in our organization, our team members, how does that translate into the work that they do, right? So
absolutely.
Imagine if you can, instead of coming to work, as we sometimes often do, sloughing off who we are in our communities, who we are at home, how we speak at home, how we dress in our communities.
Right.
And imagine
yeah.
you can work in a place where you're championed and you're celebrated for who you are, and you can bring that to work and you bring your full self
absolutely.
To that institution. Imagine what you can deliver in terms of the care that you give and the colleague that you become to your peers around you. And so that's why we think it's and I firmly believe it's a two-pronged approach of
mm-hmm.
how you, it's for the people at the end of that care that we deliver every day, their family members who are entrusting us to taking care of them, but also for the individuals to feel like a full person as they right. enter the workplace as well.
Totally, and I think that's so cool. So I just wanted to bring that up because I think that's kind of a neat, you know, kind of differentiator that you guys are trying to create that
mm-hmm.
culture there at JFK. So I think that's really cool. And like you said, it trickles on through to the patient care and the people that are coming in to the hospital doors. So I think that's really cool, and I'm happy to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're getting short on time. What other future advancements are on the horizon for JFK?
So a lot. I mean,
yeah.
we can break this into a couple of different
You tell me
areas,
your
right?
tell me your so, top your favorite ones. Just
well, you, first, you know, you probably picked up I'm a culture guy.
Yeah.
And so we think of culture two sets of lenses, right? One is building a strong culture of a sense of community within the organization, but also celebrating what's unique about our cultures as individuals. And
mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. So most recently, we were able to, over the last 30 days or so, we had our first Good Friday service in the hospital right before Easter.
Fun.
And then the following week, we had our first iftar for Ramadan, to celebrate with our Muslim brothers and sisters in the organization, employees and medical staff. And many were commenting that, hey, it's been 18 years I've been here. It's been 20 years I've been here. We've never seen anything like this.
I think that's so cool.
And then just last week, we did a Passover celebration and learned about the Seder. And what was interesting, Rabbi Track led that for us. And we talked about it through the lens of what happens if you're a patient in the hospital during Passover or you're a caregiver. And you can't, do the Seder. What are some things you can do?
Totally.
And so educating us. And so we like to encourage a sense of shared understanding and mutual belongingness in the organization between others who are a part of that faith and not a part of that faith. To really learn and understand what's unique about all the people who are here. And so it's been very well received. We started things like our well-being initiatives where we've had puppy yoga. We've had massage therapy students who are come into the organization, getting their training hours, providing massages to our caregivers as well. And a variety of other things like the Hospital Activity Committee, where I've wanted to focus on bringing the family back into our organization. So whether it's been a trunk or treat, or Winter Wonderland, where we celebrated Christmas and Hanukkah, or we recently had our extravaganza for Easter and the spring. And it's really allowing an opportunity for our employees and our medical staff to bring their children and their full families here. So we believe that when we engage you on multiple levels, right, from a family perspective, from your mental and physical well-being to your spiritual well-being as well, you will express that as a full person and really bring more to the table in terms, and that's really a win for our patients and our community as well.
Absolutely. I think that's so cool. And thank you for sharing that. I'm sure everybody, I mean, I know you're like still new-ish there, but I'm sure everyone's so excited to have you on board. It sounds like you're doing some really cool things just trying to build a nice community there.
And we are undertaking a significant, the most significant investment in the history of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
We currently have about a quarter of a billion of capital in flight around a variety of projects. If you come to our hospital, you'll probably see construction happening everywhere.
Awesome.
In the end, we intend in over about a 5 to 7 year period to invest about $500 million into our main campus proper, but also a variety of other campuses as well, all to really meet the needs, the growing needs and demands of the citizens in this community. And we want to make sure that we're a responsible partner and we're investing and giving them the latest and greatest in terms of technology, but also a great product in terms of quality, safety, and service as well.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to follow along and see all the good things that you guys are continuing to do and just build on that. And I know everyone must be so happy to have you there. Like, you have such a good light about you.
Thank you. I'm blessed to be in the position to be a steward over this organization, and hopefully we can leave it in a better position than I found it.
Awesome. Well, guys, this is Ken West with JFK Hospital laying it all out for us, and I appreciate you taking the time and giving people a little bit of background on you and the hospital and all the good things that you guys are doing there. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And we're out of time. It goes so fast.
It does.
But we will see you. A big thank you to Kana House Studios, Wellington's first and only content creation studio, and we will see you next time here on the next episode of 501CTV. Thank you.
Thank you.